You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support.
All right, so first and foremost, as we start this review here, I'd like you to take the idea of Roadhouse that you have and the audacity that they would dare make another one, and just bear in mind that they already did make another one called Roadhouse 2 Last Call. So it's not so egregious that they'd come back and make a third one. So just accept that that's a fact. Now, secondly, take your idea of Roadhouse, just remove the title. And now we're going to talk about this movie. Just forget the fact that it's a Roadhouse movie. We're just going to talk about this movie. This movie is about troubled former UFC middleweight fighter Elwood Dalton, played by Jake Gyllenhaal, who makes a living scamming fighters on the underground circuit. So he's just a professional fighter in bars. He's approached by Frankie, portrayed here by Vanessa Williams, the owner of an unruly roadhouse in the Florida Keys community of Glass Key called The Roadhouse. She offers him the job as head bouncer, which he's hesitant to accept, but after a failed suicide attempt, he decides, what the hell, I'm going to Florida. He heads on down there, he befriends a local bookstore owner and her daughter, he gets to the roadhouse, lives on a boat, and starts kicking ass until Conor McGregor rears his ugly head, courtesy of Ben Brandt, the Do You Know My Father villain in this movie. And femurs are broken, faces are bashed in. Local bands continue to come to this bar despite the fact that there's brawls all the time. And there you go. You have yourself a movie. I am TC DeWitt of the Screener Squad, and I am joined by my fellow ass kickers. We've got Kim.
What's up, guys?
Her special move is the flying knee, and you do not want to be on the, wrong end of that. Oof, yeah, look out. And also breaking some arms, we have Nathan.
Yeah, I'm sure I've broken many arms in my past. I am just thinking about all the arms I have broken.
Yeah, Nathan is, he's an elbow fighter. It's really quite the method.
That's how us Kenosha boys do it.
Well, here we are to discuss the new Roadhouse movie, which is on Amazon. Jake Gyllenhaal got in some wicked shape for this. This dude is just jacked in this movie. And how far can the charisma of Jake Gyllenhaal carry a film? That's the question we have here today. So, do you two, either of you, have a history with Roadhouse, or are you coming in here cold and this is your first experience?
I have a very fresh history with Roadhouse. I just watched the first one, the original one, today. I watched it with this weird guy from California, actually.
Does he fight with elbows?
No. He fights with his head. That's my move right
now. Oh, God. Well, so the original movie with Patrick Swayze, which, like I said, I just watched today after I watched the new one. Patrick Swayze did not have even a tenth of the charisma and charm of Jake Gyllenhaal. And I was pretty disappointed. I know this is a hot take, and I'm so sorry to all
Why are you pissing on the dead right now?
I'm not pissing on him.
I don't mean to call you out.
I'm talking about him when he was alive in 1989. I'm not talking about his current self of being deceased. Let's get that straight.
Do you have that anti-ghost poster that Buster Bluth has in the community?
We are not fighting in the One of Us clubhouse. You need to take this outside.
Hey, be nice.
Okay, I'm just saying, objectively, some people have more charisma than other people, and regardless of their status of being alive or dead. That's all I'm saying. But compared to the first movie, which was honestly a snooze fest, other than seeing probably more boobs than I've ever seen in my whole life in a two-hour film, it had nothing much else to offer. Oh, and well, Sam Elliott was also pretty cool.
Sam Elliott.
I feel like they replaced his character by giving the bar owner more of a characterization. Like, you said her name is Vanessa Williams?
Vanessa Williams, yeah. Formerly of The Daily Show. I love seeing her pop up in things because she has turned some dramatic stuff, adventure stuff. So it was fun when she popped up in this. I'm a fan of her.
Yeah, it was interesting to me because I thought she was going to be the love interest of the Jake Gyllenhaal character. But she was just, nope, just his boss, who he had a lot of chemistry with.
Strictly platonic, but, you know, who knows what it'll be in the future. Nathan, what is your relationship with Roadhouse? So,
similar to Kim, I watched it this week. I dated someone who was, quote, Swayze crazy, but we never got to that period of the relationship, Roadhouse. You know, that special moment where you look into a lover's eyes and are like, is it time to watch Roadhouse?
Did she have you do your hair like Patrick Swayze?
You couldn't put a mullet on this hair. But it's one of those movies that when I watched it, I was like, fuck yeah, this is going to be my jam. And it wasn't not my jam. I have a weird relationship with it in which I'm like, if I had friends with beer and pizza, this would be the best movie I've ever seen. Love the ripping of the throat. Love the used to fuck guys like you in prison.
That was the most hardcore line I've ever heard in a fight in my life.
What's one of those you like, you skip back and you're like, okay, let me listen to this again. Okay. Guys, plural, huh?
Wow.
What a fun movie. And I'm a big fan of Jake Gyllenhaal in his current run of being completely unable to give a normal performance in a movie. I'm a big fan of his work in the movie Ambulance, which he won Best Actor for.
Yes. Yes.
Correctly? Yeah.
Hell yes.
Yeah. What, he won an Oscar?
No, he won a Razzie. Oh.
He should have won the Oscar over Brendan Fraser. I'm sorry, one of us listeners. The Whale is not a good film. Anyways.
Nathan, I will actually fight you if you talk badly about Brendan Fraser.
Yeah, be nice.
Oh my God. Hey, take this outside. Take this outside.
Like Roadhouse, fine. Watch this movie, which, you know, Doug Liman has that contract with Satan to make either absolute bangers or the worst film ever made. And I was shocked that it was neither of that.
Interestingly, this does have Joel Silver vibes to it. And you are so right. He either makes these like extraordinary films or these wonderfully schlocky films. There's some weird choices being made here. Let's start with the camera work. They developed this new fighting filming technique, which basically is compositing all the fights so that they could hit as hard as they can. And because of that, the camera sweeps around and moves, but it is a very precise chaos. It's supposed to look like it's whipping around to catch the action, but they had to move the camera exactly the same way, so it feels really forced. It's unsettling. That's the best visually unsettling.
What it felt like to me was... So Matthew Vaughn employs this technique during the church scene of Kingsman, which is probably the best deployment of like that kind of technique of like stitching shots together, using editing to make it seem like one fluid shot. Didn't feel like that. Felt like Transformers Rise of the Beasts to these like very weird static shots of the robots fighting. And ultimately... the more unnatural and less filmmaker-like it feels, the more you're just completely thrown out of it because you're like, oh, I couldn't have a camera that does that.
Yeah, it's this odd way to present what are clearly capable people doing these well-choreographed fight scenes. I don't know, it may be because it's in its infancy that it just feels weird to watch. And it's a shame because at least the first hour of this movie, it has drama to it. He's an interesting character. He's quiet and subdued, but he's so like smirky, charming, and he's clearly got a history that we're getting little by little of. When it was his movie and was more of like a drama, it was all right. It had a similar vibe to something like the Tom Cruise Jack Reacher films, which are machismo, manly movies.
This movie is pretty Jack Reacher coded.
Yeah.
I mean, it's produced by Amazon. And it has kind of that vibe of like, oh, why would you fuck with this guy?
Right. But then, about halfway through, they introduce a new character played by Conor McGregor. And then it stops feeling like a Jack Reacher movie and starts feeling like Too Fast, Too Furious. It starts feeling like Florida Man. And then Jake Gyllenhaal seems to be like, okay, I guess this is the movie I'm in now. And it starts being really wacky violence. It stops being what was building as something like even like Walking Tall, if we look at that Rock movie, that's a remake of an older movie, where it was kind of taking itself seriously. As soon as this villain is introduced, this movie goes into full tilt.
It felt like it became a Netflix movie halfway through to me because the writing quality dropped down and the action was amped up to a, like you just said, cartoony way. I will say I did love the Conor McGregor introduction, his villain introduction.
Yeah.
Because it was like the complete opposite of Jake Gyllenhaal's introduction of him being like the mysterious, quiet, tough guy. Mm-hmm. And Conor McGregor's just like, here's my ass and I'm in a town and I don't care. I'm just swinging my dick around literally and blowing shit up and stealing jackets. And I just thought it was hilarious.
To the shock of the listeners of oneofus.net, I have a couple takes on this. Conor McGregor, not the best screen presence I've ever seen from an actor. I wish he could be introduced halfway through more movies, though. I really enjoyed how he just sort of sauntered into this movie and was like, oi, where's the fucking bouncer? It was cinematic dynamite.
Sorry, Nathan. I don't mean to be controversial here, but you mentioned his accent. I do not think his accent is intimidating at all. I don't know if you've seen this thing going around on like social media where people are saying British people can't be intimidating because whatever they say, they just sound intelligent to Americans. When I guess was Conor Irish, I would assume.
Yes.
He, and I'm so sorry to offend anybody who's listening, sounded like a leprechaun to me this whole film. And I could not take him seriously. It just wasn't intimidating.
As someone who got persecuted for being Irish this week, how dare you, Kim?
Oh my God. Hey, Nathan.
Take it outside. Take it
Be
outside.
Nice. Anyways.
Nothing wrong with Irish people.
Yeah. There's some good people in the Irish
community. There's some good people.
Heard. No, I thought this was one of the most alien performances that Jake Gyllenhaal has given in a long time, which is saying a lot from somebody who normally gives alien performances these days. Like post Source Code and Love and Other Drugs, he's just like, I refuse to be regular.
Nightcrawler.
John Mulaney's ambulance. Lunch Sack Punch.
I love Jake Gyllenhaal. I just think he has such a presence.
Yeah.
He acts insane. Like, you're not wrong. Like, there's something in, like, an unhingedness to him. And when he lets it out, even in bad movies, I can't help but be engaged by him. And in this, this is like four different movies tonally over the course of the 2 hours. And every one of those movies, Jake Gyllenhaal brings it to 11.
I turned to my roommate and I said, he's fantastic in this movie. If they want me to like want him to get away with this at the end of the movie, they're sorely mistaken because I really hope they like put this animal down.
How was he an animal when you had Conor over here who was an actual wild animal?
So glad that you brought that up. Jake is really credible in all the action scenes that aren't with Conor McGregor. And Conor McGregor is really credible with all the actors that aren't Jake Gyllenhaal.
I could see that. Together, they did not really work.
Yeah, I mean, like, Jake is credible enough as an actor and also as a physical component. And Conor is so credible as a physical component and not credible as an actor at all. It's such a weird dichotomy. This movie is it's a fascinating, like, get drunk with your friends, order some Domino's movie.
Well, how did you guys feel about all the characters in the bar and the gangsters that they had to fight? I know me and TC earlier were talking about they had some kind of funny comic relief characters. They had that one gang member who was always just like, hey, man, I'm just here. I don't really want any trouble.
Yeah.
Hi. From Broad City.
Yes. Oh, my God. I'm glad you recognized him, too. I was so happy he had a job. And he was making me laugh the whole film. Every time he showed up, I was like, okay, be ready to laugh. I really enjoyed all of the characters. I felt like they fleshed them out as much as, you know, a background character could be fleshed out. Even the little bartenders that they had.
Mm-hmm. The other bouncers that he's training.
Yes. They handled that way better than in the original film as well. The original people in the bar in the original film were so, like, there was nothing really to latch on to. I mean, it could have been the 80s hair and the, like, greasiness.
That guy was just fucking while he was on break.
I had the least amount of issue with him because it looked like he was really getting in there. I more so had an issue with the lady with the bangs.
Yeah.
She was just weird.
Yeah, there's certainly more characterization within the new movie here and the supporting characters. That comedy of having, like, the one thug that's part of the film group who's like, hey, how's it going? And Jake Gyllenhaal, Dalton bringing these guys to the hospital to move into that plot point. I liked all that. That's that Jack Reacher-isms that the movie seemed to have pretty consistently.
Little Shane Black energy.
Yeah. And then when they add the Tasmanian Devil into the movie, it really just changed the energy of everyone in this.
He is kind of a Tasmanian Devil. I had a weird issue with the self-awareness of this film, which I have my issues with the first Roadhouse film, but one of the things I love about that movie is that it is completely po-faced, sincere about everything it's doing. Mm-hmm. This movie felt like it needed to spell out what type of movie it was far too often, especially with the daughter character at the bookstore who's like, oh, you're like the Western character who came in here into our town. You're like the lone cowboy who came in the saloon. And I'm like, yeah, we
get it.
Yeah, we didn't get that spelled out the second he appeared. You could never have seen a Western in your entire life and at least understood those tropes.
Mm-hmm. I kind of enjoyed that character, specifically the daughter character in the bookstore and her dad. I thought that was a good addition to this film. And they were giving some heart to this film that I think it was sorely missing, especially comparing it to the first film. The first film had no heart. This film, I think the daughter and the dad had a little bit of extra heart.
It had a lot of throat, though, in the first film.
Oh, well, one less throat, if I remember correctly. But I didn't mind that the daughter character introduced, like, oh, you're the lone gunman coming to town or whatever. I didn't mind that. I thought, I haven't ever seen a Western before, so I kind of enjoyed being girl-splained what type of movie this was.
There's also the nurse that's introduced in this, that the love interest, probably it's not fair to call her a nurse, she's a doctor, how dare I? You know, that was rude of me. I did appreciate that she pursued him instead of the reverse, where in the original Roadhouse, as soon as Dalton sees this woman, he's like, you, me, we do now. As opposed to in this, where she is interested in this guy, curious about this guy, and pursues him, even to the point where he's like, whoa, I didn't know this was a date. I don't know if this is a good idea. I like that angle on it. A little more agency to the character.
Yeah.
Are you telling me Rowdy Harrington isn't the level of director of Doug Liman?
But talking about the love interest, weirdly enough, I felt like Jake Gyllenhaal had the least amount of chemistry with her. And that was wild to me because he had chemistry with literally every other living thing in this film, except for his love interest. And I don't know if it's because I don't think it's him. I think it's this actress who I've said before.
No, I think it's him.
No. Okay. No. I think it's this actress because I've never seen her in any film where she had chemistry with her fellow co-stars. Granted, I've only seen her in two films, this film and The Suicide Squad.
Oh,
but both times she was just like a really pretty girl, was giving me nothing to like really
you
care
don't
about.
Remember her in Fast X?
Fast X.
Oh, she was in
Fast
X.
Oh, wow. I hated that character. Thanks for reminding me, Nathan. Yeah, I'm sure now that it's her.
No, I honestly think it was a weird conscious choice by Gyllenhaal. It's one of the things I liked about it was how idiosyncratic he was. When they're sitting on that, like, 2 feet of water, patch of sand in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, when they have that moment and she's trying to seduce him to some extent, you know, it's like, oh, it's a date. He reacts like no human being I've ever seen react. He's like, oh, you don't want to know me. Bye. And, like, almost feels like he should walk off into the lake. And just like swim.
Yeah. I'd rather drown.
I think Gyllenhaal's weirdly dialed into whatever the fuck Liman told him to do. That Limania that we hear about if you're a Doug Liman fan. I came into this as a Doug Liman fan. I didn't come into this as a Roadhouse fan.
You're a Limaniac. I get it. That's good. Well, hey, why don't you take your manic love of Doug Liman and wrap it into some final thoughts here for Roadhouse?
It's a solid Friday nighter at like 5 p.m. I think this is a solid, fun time to watch with friends. It's not necessarily a good movie. Gyllenhaal's performance elevates it to slight goodness, but the action scenes are so weirdly chopped together with the CGI stitching between the shots. There's stuff in this movie that certainly would be original if you haven't seen a single film starring Scott Atkins, like any of the Undisputed sequels. Or, I don't know, pretty much any film that involves fighting that has come out in the past couple of years that is one of those that, like, your friend on Twitter is like, man, if you want to see a real movie, you got to watch Universal Soldier Day of Reckoning or whatever. It's a 5 out of 10. I didn't hate it as I watched it. Didn't love it as I watched it. Probably never watch it again unless somebody's like, yo, Jake Gyllenhaal was in a Roadhouse remake? To say all this, I feel about the same way about the original Roadhouse. So they're both kind of on par sequels. The original might have a slight edge due to the fact that it is just not self-aware in a way that I find endearing.
Well, I actually was surprised at how much I enjoyed this movie because I kind of went into it fully expecting to be bored, just watching it as a chore type thing. And within the first 5 minutes, I was kind of hooked. It did a great job of showing instead of telling about this, the main character. You know, the first 5 minutes you see he's famous for a bad reason. People are scared of him. He has suicidal thoughts, but he's also really tough and endearing when he wants to be. He was a very complex character, and I feel like they showed us that in some pretty good scenes in the first 5 minutes. So I was impressed, and that got me hooked. Moving through the film, I mean, kind of like Nathan said, Jake Gyllenhaal was doing his best to carry this movie on his shoulders, and I do think he did an admirable job for the most part. I really enjoyed his interactions with the little girl and her dad at the bookstore, with the bar owner, with the people at the bar, even with the gang members. The fight scenes weren't super interested to me, but I'm not a person who likes fights unless there's like laser beams and people changing shapes or whatever. Like when it's just like a regular fight, I'm not super interested. But I did enjoy that they kind of gave the Dalton character almost like a Sherlock way of talking during the fights, where he, like, someone's pointing a gun at him and he's like, you know, all I have to do is break your index finger and you won't be able to pull that trigger. And then he would do it. And I thought that was kind of fun. And, you know, just to see what he would say during the fight was keeping me intrigued. I wish the love interest had been the bar owner, because I thought they had more chemistry and she was really hot. The doctor who was his love interest, like I already said, was basically a really pretty piece of wood to me. And I felt like she was giving Jake nothing to play off of. Conor McGregor, I was not expecting him in this film. He has a really nice butt. I can appreciate that. But his acting was weird to me. Yeah, he was just like a weird element to this film that did not work for me whatsoever. I also want to praise this movie for being short. It was a little less than 2 hours. Movies nowadays easily go over 2 hours. This one was in and out before I had time to really drag for me. So I can appreciate that. I'm going to give it a 5 out of 10 hungry alligators.
Very good. Honestly, I'm going to echo a lot of what Kim has just said. Your notes are very reflective of my notes. I think the main thing that I'm taking away from this was how much I enjoyed Jake Gyllenhaal. I think he's such a great actor, and he makes such strange choices in the roles he takes, but he fully commits to them. And I really appreciate that about him. So if you're a Gyllenhaal fan, I think you're going to find enjoyment just to see him walk around shirtless most of this movie and just showing off his
physique. It's a weird career choice for him, this whole movie.
Yeah. But there's some technical stuff of this movie that irked me. The action sequences hit my eyes the wrong way. It left me a little weirded out about how the camera would move around. And once McGregor enters the equation, the movie does shifts into the energy of latter Fast and the Furious movies, where you're dealing with just a cartoon villain. But I had fun with this. I didn't expect much of it because I know how beloved that original Roadhouse is. I have never seen it until I watched it with Kim today, and I'd only seen clips of it, and it just felt so 80s. And even now, having watched it, I'm like, look, this movie, like so many movies, is a beloved film if you saw it when you were younger or when it first came out, and some things just don't date themselves as well as others. And this new one brings a fresh energy to a good idea. It reflects the modern times with some of the narrative choices and characterizations that we see in this. So in the end, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh my God, you got to see this new Roadhouse. I'm not going to say that. But if you do happen upon it, I think you're going to be okay. Especially, as Nathan said, watching with some friends. This is a cool hangout, laugh at the
beer,
movie.
Pizza.
Yeah. Yeah. Much like the first one. And if anything, that's the legacy being carried on, that you can watch this and just have a ball with your buddies. So
should I order Domino's right now?
So in the end, I'm going to give this a 3 out of 5 tracheas.
Be nice.
And for those of you who might watch Roadhouse, get to the Facebook page, comment on this thread, and let us know what you think. Now, everyone, be nice. Get out. Get out. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. Get out.
Make me.
Get out. Get out. Oh, these fighting words. These are fighting words.